Hi there. We're so glad you found the Fabric Podcast. Before you start listening, we wanted to let you know that this is one of our earlier episodes where our show was called The Check-In. On these episodes, we talk about the company, giving you insight into who we are and what we do. But in 2019, we realized we really want to focus more on company culture. So we refocused and renamed the podcast. So just a heads up that this earlier episode is still us, the team from The Receptionist, but just with a different show name and a slightly different focus. Thanks for listening. On this episode of The Check-In, we're joined by Jessica Marshall, Director of Customer Experience and co-founder at The Receptionist. We're talking all about something that is very important to us and something we discuss on almost every podcast that we do, our core values, and that's Fabric. Fabric stands for fun, authentic, bold, respectful, innovative, and collaborative. And today, Jessica is sharing with us how this all came about, why core values are so important for a company to be clear on. We dive into each letter, more of what it means and how that shows itself in our day-to-day and how we work with our customers, and some tips for a company who might not be clear on their values and how to get started. So as always, we have a lot of fun on this episode, so stick around. We have Jessica on the show again. Jessica, how are you today?
I'm so good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So I'm really excited for this episode because we are talking about values and what we value here. And I think on pretty much every podcast episode, this comes up in some way, shape, or form.
I think you're right about that every episode.
And that makes sense because it is just so very important to us. So before we get into our core values, share with us, why are values so important and integral to a company, and why should they be clear on their values?
I think the importance of having a very clear company culture and values is that it's the feeling of having it there. If you have a job at a company and they don't have a core value system or culture that they share, then it's just a job at a company. Right. And you show up and you do your job and you leave at the end of the day and you go back the next day. And there's not as much meaning to it. I mean, let's be honest, we're not saving lives. The receptionist is super cool and we have a lot of fun and we heighten security. It's important, but yeah. it's not going to be the end all of anybody's day. But what we share are meaningful core values. And if you share those values with your colleagues in your company, then to use an Andy term, we're all rowing in the same direction.
Yeah.
You're working together symbiotically rather than in your own little silo, working on something that may or may not add to the company's stated trajectory. What's the end goal? And what was really interesting, so I always sort of prep for our conversations and I had these notes scribbled out for this question. And then I thought, I wonder what the team would say if I posed this question to them. And word for word, they gave me that answer. Three of them simultaneously said, so that we're rowing in the same direction.
Oh my gosh.
And another said, so that we have a common goal and that we're not siloed off in our own teams and in our own world. We're working together.
Yeah. Well, I'm not surprised that everyone came back with basically the exact same response, because that just speaks again to the culture and the values and how this is sort of permeated within the company. And part of what I love about our values too, is it's not just internal, it's also what we aim to do within the work. And I think that's unique and special as well. So let's get into more of what our values are. Can you share with us about how we came up with the idea of Fabric and let us in on what that stands for? And sure. How it got started.
Sure. So what it stands for is Fabric: fun, authentic, bold, respectful, innovative, and collaborative. We started the leadership team in the winter of 2015, and it was really started to put in place these kinds of common company tenets: a vision, values, a mission statement, goals, things that we were all working towards. And if you remember 2015, that was the very beginning of all of our entrance into The Receptionist, Dylan, Andy, and I.
Yeah.
So we started and had a list, and it was a little haphazard, but it still contained the core of what became Fabric. We had a list of belief systems, basically. We wanted to delight our customers, to treat them and our colleagues with respect, to go the extra mile, and to enjoy what it is that we do, because we were having so much fun. That was important to hang on to. We didn't want to trade doing really good business with not having any fun doing it. And it was really funny, again, prepping for this yesterday. I have the history of that document and can timestamp when we started it and when we landed on Fabric itself. So it sort of bounced around, and we again added and edited to that list of values and sort of a core culture we believed in until Andy came to us with EOS and Traction. And one of the first steps in that process is to really nail down your values and your company's culture. So we went back to the original document and we spent a few meetings and a lot of sort of language skills, throwing out words, editing down duplicates. And there were things like honesty and integrity. Okay, well, those are the same thing, pick a word. And debated what was core to that those belief systems and that list of things we had. On October 4th, 2017, that's the timestamp for when those edits officially became Fabric. And with the help of a few tools like a thesaurus and Words with Friends cheat sites, we moved some of the language around and it literally fell into place with one word change. I think honesty became authentic and that became Fabric. And what's really interesting is that it wasn't just this one word that we can recite. Fabric has those, each word is a meaning, but Fabric itself is the cloth that weaves through each one of us. It is the cloth that wraps around the receptionist. Yeah. So the word itself became meaningful. It was kind of kismet. It was kind of accident. It was also very purposeful. We spent a lot of time weeding through what do we really want to build.
I love that. I get chills as you tell that story. And part of what I think is so interesting in that is that it started back in 2015 mm-hmm. and it changed and evolved and it finally sort of settled into what it is in 2017. And it's not because you put it to the side and forgot about it. You were still living those ideas. There was more intention behind it when we brought in EOS, but I think that's important for people to know. You know, I think sometimes companies are like, oh, we need a mission statement. We need to be clear on our values. And they have one meeting and they try to knock it out. Well, that's not how it works typically.
No, and it wasn't how it worked for us. I think we're going to get to this, but the first step is just to start.
Right.
Right. Just to start doing it and not to let it be this sad, done with document. It is a living thing. It's a living thing if you give meaning to it. And like I said, I have timestamps for all of the edits that we made to that document. And even though it started in 2015, throughout 2016, there are edits and additions. There are things that we came back to and debated and said, oh, again, is this a duplicate or is this really something that we want to place as a part of our values? Or is this just kind of part of who we are? Things like, you know, time off, right? We have a very flexible and respectful, you know, work-life balance and time off policy. And that was kind of part of those values in the beginning. But I mean, again, is that really a core value to the company? No. But it's still part of the underlayment of the foundation that is the receptionist.
Absolutely. So you've been at the company basically since its inception and Fabric has grown and evolved. So what are some of the biggest differences that you've noticed in the company pre and post Fabric?
You know, we're still the same. Document started in 2015 and the core of what it means is still the same. What's really changed is that we have this vocabulary that is shared that we can utilize and that we do intentionally utilize regularly. When we put together quarterly rocks, both on an individual and a department basis, we really look at Fabric and say, what about these rocks or these projects that we're going to set forth to do in the next quarter fall in line with our values? Collaboration being primary. We really look at rocks and ask one another, is this a collaborative rock or are you going to go sit in a room and do this? And both are fine, don't get me wrong, but we like to encourage collaboration. So if it does appear to be a on my own project, we might make suggestions like, oh, well, what if marketing could have some input into that project that you're doing? They might have the video tools to put together the knowledge base article that we want to write for customer experience. So we really intentionally look for how we can collaborate with one another. I do think the biggest difference in the pre and post Fabric receptionist is our hiring processes. Mm. Not only does it give us, again, the framework and the words to evaluate hires coming in, but for them to evaluate us. We post Fabric with all of our job postings, so they get to know us and how we run things before they even talk to us. And that has made a really big difference in how we hire and how we evaluate.
Absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about each of these a little bit more because there's so much to it. So we're going to go through each letter. You can kind of define it a little bit and then maybe give us an example or two of how that shows up in the office, the culture, and even how we kind of, how we address our customers.
Sure.
So let's start with F, the fun.
Well, aren't we fun?
We are. I mean, we like to think we are.
I think we are. We laugh a lot. We have a random Slack channel where jokes get posted. I don't think there's been one interview that I've said in that we didn't like break out in laughter with one another. We like to enjoy each other. Where it shows up, I think the most truly is with our customers, that we include gifts and emojis and we try and get a good laugh out of our customers and let them know that not only are we fun, but we're human. Right? We're having a good time doing this and that they're on board with it. There are a couple of customers in particular, I will not name names, who will show up in our live chat and intercom just to say hi for the day, send us a gift and go on about their way. Yesterday, somebody started a chat that said, "Hey fam," as in family. I was like, wow, and that was a customer to us. Yeah. "Hey fam, I got a question for you today." That's amazing. That means we're all having fun together and we're again, rowing in the same direction.
Yeah. And again, it's great because it's not just internally we want to have fun, but we want to have fun with our customers and help them have fun too, which is important. So the A we've already touched on is authentic. Tell us a little bit more about that.
I think authentic, it's sort of based in, again, how we want to treat ourselves, our employees, and our customers, that we don't lie. We don't tolerate dishonesty. We don't sell a product that we can't support. We don't lie about what we can or can't do with our product. We are authentic in ourselves and in what we're offering. And it also allows us, I think, to make those hard decisions a little easier, to say no faster. I think as Dylan would say, if we're really not a good match for you, we can say, you know what, I'm sorry. That's just not what we do best. We're not a good match for you. We're not going to waste anybody's time trying.
Yeah, which is important. Again, going back to that customer experience, we don't want to waste your time if we are not the right fit for you.
Exactly.
And then within the company, you know, I think we've talked about this before on the podcast of just sort of being yourself and being a human and, you know, just treating people well. And we're going to get into the R and respectful in a little bit, but just being an authentic human being in the workplace.
Yeah.
So let's talk about bold, because I think that's a bold choice for our cultures here. Talk to us
about that. It is bold. And I think other than fun, I think bold might be my favorite because it is hard and it is challenging to be bold. We've had a number of, within leadership and within all of the departments and individuals, we've had some very difficult conversations. And you have to when you're building a company and building a culture. You have to be able to say, "I disagree with you," or at least we wanted to build an environment in which it was safe to say, "I disagree with you." I've been in too many conference rooms where half the room was sitting there on their hands, swallowing their tongue, saying, "I don't like this and I don't want to do it and I don't agree with it." And nothing was ever said about it. So we built bold into our fabric so that we felt like we could build a safe place to say, "I disagree," or "I challenge you." And we have one of our sort of meeting agreements is the assumption of positive intent. So built into bold is, I assume you're coming from a positive place and that you're not attacking me personally or belittling my ideas. And I'm going to listen to your challenge or your criticism with that positive intent at the basis of it. Even though it may be hard for me to hear what you're saying to me, or it may be hard for me to adjust, I respect your ability to say it to me. So that's bold.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that's really important to clarify because, you know, I think at first glance, bold, it's like we're splashy, you know, we're like going out there and doing big things, which I think, yes, that's great. But it really is kind of, being willing to be bold in our actions and how we do things, and especially in the hard ways. As well.
And be willing to fail as well. Yeah. And we've said that. I can't tell you how many mistakes I've made. I made one last month. I don't want to talk about it, but I'll never make that mistake again. But to be willing to make mistakes and that it's okay to fail. The difference is to admit that you failed, to learn from that, and not to make the same mistake twice.
Absolutely.
And that's bold too. I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to try something and maybe it'll work and maybe it won't.
Yeah. Well, that's why we also, again, we're going to get to the C, the collaboration, but we have other team members to kind of collaborate on these things about and figure out, is this a good choice? Is it not? How do we support it and do it? And I think also layered in with bold is this idea of respectful, the next letter in fabric. I mean, they all intertwine as fabric tends to do, but tell us a bit more about respectful.
I think respectful and authentic are very close. You mentioned that before, and they're very close. Here's where respectful started. One of the first values we had was time, that we respected one another's time and attention. So respectful comes certainly from that authentic place. We're going to treat customers with respect. We're going to treat each other with respect. But it's also, we're not going to waste anybody's time. So again, we can say no faster, but respectful feels to me personally more internal, just knowing its evolution. We used to have meetings where there was no agenda and they would start late or end late. And it felt like we weren't being respectful of one another's time. Mm-hmm. So we'd put time in our then values, and respectful sort of evolved out of that. We now have an agenda for every meeting. We know what we're showing up to attend. We can prepare ourselves to be productive within that meeting and participate as having been asked to be in that meeting. And we start on time and we end on time. And if those two things aren't possible, we deal with it immediately. So if we know that time is running out and we have something else that we really want to get to, we'll bring it up 10 minutes before. Look, we're running out of time. Can we extend? Do you have the scheduling to do it? Or do we need to take this to a second meeting? How do we want to go about this extension that we're going to need?
Right. And I think the fact that, you know, respectful is a part of the culture is important, because you go back to bold, you know, you want to know that you're going to be respected when you put yourself out on a limb, right? And when you sort of show that authentic side of yourself, you want to know, like, hey, people are going to be okay with this kind of quirky side of me. So yeah, it all kind of comes together.
Yes.
So let's talk about the I, innovative.
So one of the first sort of, again, I don't want to say it was a value, but it was one of our statements of being, is that we really wanted to wow customers with their experience, not only with our product, but with each of us. And innovative gives us the foundation to say, okay, well, you asked for this feature, but I'm going to ask you 12 more questions about it, because that gives me an idea that it could be used in a different way. We try and think bigger. We try and think outside of the box. We try and think beyond what has been asked of us. And that's by our customers and by one another. So I was throwing around an idea the other day with Hannah, and I took it to Dylan, and he said, oh, you know, that's a really good idea. And then we had a little bit more of the conversation, and he said, oh, but wait, we could actually do it this way, and that'd be way better. And he was right. And it was that extra step further. So it was thinking beyond the black and white that's right in front of you. Mm-hmm. We like to have conversations and have fun with our customers. So we ask a lot of questions. Again, you come to me with an idea, I'm gonna bury you in questions about it. Tell me more. How do you want it to work that way? How does it work in your company now? What if it worked this other way? Would that be close or in proximity to what you're looking for? Because then we could use that idea, and you can see my little Rubik's cube of ideas turning it into something that much more.
Yeah. And you mentioned Hannah Morris. She's our customer experience representative. Yeah. I'm sure she asks lots of questions. And then Dylan Berry, our director of engineering and another co-founder who we have to run these things by to see what is possible. So yeah. That gets us to the last letter of fabric, C, collaboration, which we've already touched on. And anyone listening for a while knows how important that is to us. But talk to us more about collaboration.
Oh, I don't know that I can say much more that hasn't already been said. We take a lot of pride and specific effort to work together. We brought these wonderful people on board because we like their brains. We like their style. We like their innovation. We like their fun. We want to work with them. And I think some of the worst experiences all of us have had in other organizations have been when you're siloed off and you're not allowed to even speak with a different department or the head of a department, or to work together with sales on an idea that they had, or marketing on some customer stuff that they want to do. It's the core of what we're able to pull together to say, we're going to do it together. This isn't a marketing problem, and this isn't a sales problem. This is an us problem. Let's do it together.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously we're very clear on our values and they really influence everything that we do. But for a company who isn't clear on its values yet, what are your tips on how to get started? Because I could see this being feeling very overwhelming to someone. I mean, we talked about how this has evolved over 2 years. It influences basically everything that we do. So what are your tips for a company who hasn't gotten started yet?
I mean, I think the first tip is to just get started. And for the younger companies, to do it as early as you possibly can. I mean, that was, again, winter of 2015. I was hired in, what, May of 2015? So it was very soon. And Andy got the company in April of 2015. It was within that very first year that we started to map out, what do we want to build here? Because we felt like it was important to have this foundation for us all to agree to and to grow from. So my first advice is start now, start yesterday, start as soon as possible. But also don't feel like you're tied to it. It is a living, breathing document. And they like to say that about the Constitution. It is something that is evolving and should evolve. And until you feel like it's right, don't give up on it. Keep coming back to it and evaluate it. And it doesn't have to be something pithy, but it has to be something meaningful. Because if it's not, it's a poster on the wall in the break room that nobody really cares about, right? It's not something that is driving you forward with your hires and your customers and your products.
Yeah. Well, that is great advice. We appreciate it. And as always, this was fun, but
thank you.
Can't expect anything less from us. If it's not fun, we're not going to do it. So thank you again for joining us today. And this was great information.
My pleasure. Thanks. That was a good one. I like talking about fabric.
Thank you. That was awesome. We hope that you got some good insight into happiness, what we've got going on to ensure that our team and our clients are happy, and maybe what you would like to do to increase the satisfaction or measure that satisfaction for your own clients and customers. And if you'd like to check out our 2-week free trial with no credit card required and to see what we do to make our potential customers and then customers happy, check us out at thereceptionist.com.